Anyway, let's sit in our school of prayer. So in this season of your life, we're talking about to fight unbelief, you must pray, God, send me my teachers. What I was saying about myself is that, so if you hear me preaching today, I did not just arise out of nowhere. There is no special unction that a virgin shall be with child. So you have a little boy shall be with knowledge. Nothing like that happened to me. Do you understand my point? No, nothing like that. If you ever driven my car, when I give you my key, as you turn the key, a message comes up. Ask those who have entered my car here. I told you that day I drove, because I had to go to Akure, then go home, then come down to Enugu. I finished 45 minutes each, 9 messages in one single leg of the trip. I didn't tell the one I was going. Look, that's why. Sometimes I say this person, I say this person said this. Other time I just say something. I say, I don't even know who said it, just that it has become my own. Yes. I've been hearing things for a very long time. What am I trying to say? One prayer you must pray. Because, listen, Philip, God sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. And that one said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I? Except somebody explains it to me. Many things in the scriptures need explanation. Sometimes I hear preachers say that the Bible is so simple, you don't need, you can just understand it. I hear that they sound nice. You don't hear me say such things. It's not true. Paul wrote, Peter said, some things are hard to be understood. How can you tell me that the Bible is so simple? And Peter was referring to those letters. Read the book of Romans. If you don't have a headache, you don't understand what he's saying. Sometimes you wonder, is this Paul okay? You go talk, go here. Talk, go there. You take that book of Hebrews. The Bible is not so simple that anybody can understand. Look, I don't believe that statement. The Bible is not hard. I'm not saying it is hard. But it's not so simple. Just carry the scripture and say you can just understand anything. That is not true. The Bible itself says it clearly to us. That Paul wrote, Peter was writing, and some things were hard to understand. They said even angels read the book of Isaiah and got confused. Is that what the Bible says? Angels. How do I know? He said these are the things angels sought to look into. Isaiah himself prophesied. He will finish prophesying. He will say, what did I just say? The angel that gave him the prophecy, my brother, not be only you. I'm serious. Look, we don't have time to be going through this. These are what, look. He said, the Bible said that these are, Peter was speaking, these are the things that the prophets prophesied. And when the Spirit of Christ, when they inquired, the Spirit of Christ in them explained to them that this thing is not for you. It's for another time to come. You just talk, all right? And then go and sit down. Remember that time that it's easy to, no, it's not easy to understand. And Paul's now, Peter was now writing. He said, according as our brother Paul has written to you in all his epistles, he said, of which some things are hard to be understood. He said, which the unlearned, you understand, rest and twist to their own destruction. That is, for you to understand Paul, you must be learned. Hey, what am I trying to say? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to say that, listen, one of the prayers you pray, you say, Lord, send me my teachers. It's a crucial prayer. Sometimes people tell you that they fasted and fasted and fasted. And they go, oh, prayed and prayed and prayed. After 3 weeks, God spoke to them. And when you hear what God spoke to them, you're like, 3 weeks of fasting to hear that? Why didn't you call me? You know, you're wondering, why did it take you 3 weeks of punishment to hear that? And let me tell you something. I found out something about Christians. Not Christians, human beings. Human beings are generally stubborn and difficult to teach. For that reason, clear-cut instruction, they won't take it. But they like to, you know, this self-righteousness. I fasted. When I finished fasting, I prayed. On the seventh day, the Lord began to speak. The emphasis is, I fasted. I didn't eat for 7 days. On the seventh day, the Lord began to speak. When I hear that, I'm suspicious. I'm looking at you. So what did he say?
Say, my daughter, I will be with you. 7 days. Why didn't you just... I could have shown you all the scriptures that said that. What is your problem? So now you are feeling very spiritual. What if you had heard that on the 7th day, my daughter, I have left you? You will have believed it. You will have still come back to me. I will have told, that's the voice of an evil spirit. I will have shown you from the scriptures. Why didn't you just read that Bible? That's why I tell Christians, make cleaning a habit. First prayer point I'm teaching, he asked God, give me my teachers. It's not as if God will whisper to you, hear your teachers. No. You pray that prayer, it's an attitude in your heart, and you keep your ears open, keep your mind open. And someone just woke up to you one day, oh boy, have you read this book? No, read it. You will read the book, you say, wow. Who is this? You look at the cover, you see the name. Do you have other ones? Say, this is the only one I have too. This is, you know, this is 2015, online, you've typed. Amazon.com, Latana.com, you are checking. Where are the books? You, next thing, you pack like five. Everybody's going on, they are going for a wedding. They say, no, I'm not going for it. I'm busy tomorrow. Ah, I'm sorry, Angela, it's your wedding. I'm busy tomorrow. Why? You are eager. Then you take those books, you begin to read, and your eyes begin to open. The scriptures become clearer. The third phase of my life, teaching-wise, started the day I stepped into Covenant Christian Center. And Pastor Kwaju began to teach about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I was brought up word of faith to say New Testament is written to the church, Old Testament written to the Jews. That is one of the most untrue claims that the word of faith ever made. The claim is so untrue. That is why I revised my use of the expression. I don't like to use Old Testament anymore. I say the law and the prophets. Because when your eyes open, you will see Jesus from Genesis to Malachi. Hey! After that day, the Bible I had that time, the book of Isaiah was particularly open to me. I used to read Isaiah, and it would be as if Isaiah was talking to me. And he would explain to me, don't mind the Jews, they didn't understand. It was you I wrote this one for. I said, you have labored for nothing, I've spent my strength in vain. It was you. And then, this is your solution. He said, the judgment due to you is to the Lord. He currently has hidden you in the quiver. Listen, I left university in 1991. I was a campus fellowship president while I was in school. I started preaching before congregations in 1989. Yet, I did not start Kingdom Word Ministries the way you know it today until the year 2001, 2002. Was I teaching here in 2003? How did I survive that dry season? That's the point I'm making. Not doing ministry. When from the time I was a student on campus, I knew this thing was going to happen. Two main things happened. One, a dream I had when I was a youth copper. And number two, when I read from Isaiah, when he said he has hidden me in his quiver. So I know that there's a season in life in which somebody is hidden. I remember the first day I preached in the house on the rock and no go here. Everybody went crazy. Where have you been? Where have you been? I'm looking at all of them. Guys, I've been preaching since 1989. You are hearing me preach for the first time here, maybe 2005 or so. And you're excited. Why? Because when we greet each other on the road, you think just one doctor has come from UNTH. How did I understand that? I was hidden in his quiver. That's what Isaiah said. The first time my eyes were opened to that scripture was when I went to Covenant Christian Center, then in Yaba, 400 about Macaulay Road, Yaba. And Pastor Kwaju said, there are seasons in life. There is sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. They explained something that God, Jesus took bread, he broke it. He first took bread, he blessed it, then he broke it, and then he gave it. First phase of life. First God takes you, blesses you, breaks you, before he can give you. I said, oh. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? Suddenly, I went back, opened my Bible, the book of Isaiah. Oh God, the prophets. I remember the statement he made that time. He said, if your eyes are open, he said that till now, when Moses is read, there remains a veil over their eyes. Anytime the scripture is read, there remains a veil over their eyes. But that veil is removed in Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, thereabout. You know? So, what did he say that day? He said that if there is a veil over your eyes, anytime you read the Bible, whether it's what you call the Old Testament or what is called the New Testament, if there is a veil over your eyes, what do you see? Commandments. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. He said, but if the veil is removed, you will go in the tabernacle of Moses and you'll be seeing Jesus Christ. Grace, grace, Jesus, grace. You see Jesus in ordinary the washings, how the priests will wash their hands. If God opens your eyes, you will see something there. He says, so is it New Testament? I remember that quotation. Is it New Testament or Old Testament? He said, it depends on whether your eyes are unveiled or they are veiled. He said, there's no scripture that's old. There's none that is new. Is the man that's reading, are his eyes veiled or they're unveiled? Huh? I went back home. I said, yeah, Moses, come, no talk. Exodus chapter 1. What is Jesus saying inside here? That was the time I amplified reading people like Oswald Chambers. Men who will speak about what they call Christian psychology, Christian philosophy. Ah, you know, they will take the life of, what do you call, if you read the book James from Genesis, Oswald Chambers, take the life of Abraham, break it down for you, like you'll be seeing yourself in every line. Did I read my Bible by myself to learn that? My life. God sent me a teacher. Look, one prayer you pray, say, Lord, send me my teachers. You can't just say, I can read the Bible by myself. Try. If you can, God bless you. I couldn't. I read the Bible, I still read it till now. If you can't substantiate what you are saying from the scriptures, you're on your own. However, the ability to understand the scriptures, God gave us teachers. That's why I said in that Ephesians chapter 4, he ascended on high. He gave gifts unto men. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and then last of all, some as pastors and teachers. It's one single office, not two. What we call pastors these days is not what the Bible calls pastors. Pastor is not administrator. Pastor is a person who teaches you the word of God. They say, I will give you pastors after my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and feed you with understanding. That's their job, knowledge and understanding. School of prayer. How do I pray so as to kill unbelief out of my life? I say to the Lord, send me my teachers. Send me my teachers. He said, your eyes will behold your teachers. It's a scripture. You can even quote it for the Lord. That he did not say, my eyes will behold my teachers. And I will hear a voice behind me saying, go to, this is the way, walk in it. When I turn to the left or to the right, Lord, prevent me from going off to the left or going off to the right, that I may maintain a balanced walk before you. Let my eyes behold my teachers. That's how you pray. Don't worry about Holy Ghost firing your enemies. Don't worry about it. You need understanding. These days, Christians are confused. I said there are a number of ways God talks to people. You remember I started by saying that? I said, number one, God gives you teachers. You read. You hear. Look, you may think I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher. I probably listen to more messages than 99.999% of Christians on this earth today. Probably. I don't know the correct figure. But, I listen to messages anytime I'm driving. So I'm always learning. There's no effective teacher that's not first and continuously a disciple. Christians, you know, the Bible says that, you know why God, one of the reasons why God gave us teachers? He says, so that you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. People come and do people razzmatazz, do all kinds of guru for them. They will fall for it. These days that the gospel is a way by which some people survive. You know what I mean? The Bible call it peddling the word of God. No, Paul said, you should do it. Go ahead and read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty, peddling the word of God. That we don't peddle, some people peddle the word of God. The only defense is if you have understanding yourself. You can't just say, no, I no go agree. Because when you say, I no go agree, you also reject good things. So this Ogboju stubbornness is bad for you. Because bad will come, yes, you'll miss it. Good will come, you will miss it. Which is another indirect way of getting bad. The only defense is to have understanding. That's why, you know, I've said it many times. When they say, who's the false prophet? It's not whether he says something and it comes to pass. No, I've read enough scriptures to know that a false prophet can say something and it comes to pass. And God taught like that, that if a man says something and it doesn't come to pass, he's false. He said, but if he says it and it comes to pass, but as a consequence, let's say that God is still false. So God said it clearly to the children of Israel, many times false prophets will prophesy things that come to pass. God has given me understanding. How do I judge false prophets? I said, okay, now that you have shown me that you have power, what is the consequence? He said, bring money. Only. I already know. You understand what I'm saying? He said, okay, I saw vision. What is it? It means your enemies are after you. Go away. They are always after me. That's not revelation. So what should I do? Become afraid? If your prophesying makes me afraid, and that fear is not the fear of God, you are false. You are false. You are false. You prophesy to me. It makes me afraid, but it's not giving me it's not the fear of God. Then you're false. When you finish prophesying, I should understand I should walk in better righteousness. If your prophesying means I should bring money out to give to you so that you pray for me, you are false. If you prophesied and in your prophesying you discovered that when I was born, they buried my umbilical cord, you are false. If while you were prophesying, you discovered that the dog ate my umbilical cord, you are false. If you found that actually when I was born, my mother dedicated me to Ogbaje spirit, you are false. Because you're so blind, you cannot understand that I've been redeemed in Christ Jesus. Your blindness is not letting you see that you are talking to a man who has been bought by the blood of Jesus, washed by the blood of Jesus, made new by the blood of Jesus. What nonsense are you prophesying? You're blind. So when you're saying that, they're looking at you. When you were born, this is your birthday. I know it, so. What's it? You know it, I know it. Now, that makes two of us. University of Nigeria, they know it. I had to fill the form. In fact, what do they call it? INEC. They know it. Because before, without it, I can't vote. My bank knows it. So, sir, what's next? The day you were born, an old woman came. Well, my mother didn't tell me about that, and my eyes were closed. I couldn't look. And she took your umbilical cord. Uh-huh. And then went and buried it. And did something with it. So, that's why you and your wife have been quarreling. I'm looking at you, winding up my spiritual punch. What should I do? We will go and uproot the umbilical cord. So you are very stupid. Do you know how long it takes something like that to decay? Do you know when it decayed? How are you going to uproot it? No, we will find the spot and do sacrifice there. I say, prophet, you are totally blind. Anyway, you are an idiot. Yes. Because even the spirits that are trying to deceive you, I know they told you, this one is a dangerous one, don't go. But your hunger wouldn't let you know that you don't prophesy to people like me such lies. Listen, did they bury your umbilical cord? What should they have done with it? Please answer me now. Because should they have returned it to your mother to use the next time? He said, Madam, there's scarcity of umbilical cords. Keep this one for your next baby. No, they'll bury the stuff. If dogs don't eat it, bacteria will eat it. One creature will eat it one way or the other. He means nothing. Zero, zap, nothing. You see, churches built on umbilical cord redemption. Do you know? People actually sit down and say that. Some of you are Christians. Do you know what they do with their umbilical cord? And you know Christians sitting down and they, I don't know. I've asked pastor, do you know what they did with your own? Why don't you have my kind of problem? Listen, this is what they call African mythology. You carry African myth into Christianity. It doesn't bother me, not for any special revelation, just because I've studied the scriptures. I have a blanket one that covers everything. In fact, two scriptures. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All umbilical cords have passed away. The only umbilical cord now I have is the spirit that rises from inside me and connects me to the Father of all spirits. That's the only cord that matters in my life. That's what I know. Said, the prince of this world is coming, he has nothing in me. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. The righteousness of God that is in me does not allow these evil spirits that hold on black carcass to hold me. Christians fall for these things all the time. You know why? Ignorance. They said, that's why I have problems. That's not why you have problems. I've said it again and again. Can Christians have problems? Yes, they can. Have I had problems before? Yes, I have. Will I have tomorrow? 100% certain. Pastor Vaki, are you praying for problems? If there is no problem, how will I overcome? It is to him that overcomes. Even Jesus has problems. And you have a problem he's still solving till today and tomorrow. He's still solving. I mean, he has. Who doesn't have problems? Your problems depends on your attitude. For me, my problems are only challenges to be overcome. It's not a sign I'm cursed. I am not cursed. Let me run through it again. Why do Christians have problems? One, ignorance. They don't know. Number two, they are walking in sin. They are disobeying the word of God. Number three, why do they have problems? Sometimes they actually don't have problems again. Their faith is just being tested. And without the testing of their faith, they cannot explain what the Bible calls patience, and they cannot inherit the promises. Testing purifies their faith. Somebody didn't get a job for 2 years. It's a sign of a curse. No, it's a sign of testing of faith. It's a sign you need to learn. It's not a sign that your umbilical cord was eaten by a monkey. I guess you do not know. The dog that ate your umbilical cord is dead. Yeah. I mean, you are 20 years old. You think that dog is still alive? The dog is dead. Any problem is the cost. He has died too. How do I know all of these things? It's simple. Knowledge of the scriptures. That's what gives me confidence. I tell you again and again, I'm not lying to you. I can't. Some people pray about something. I don't pray about some things. Can't remember praying all the witches that are after me. Holy Ghost fire on them. Ah, Holy Ghost fire. Please don't misdirect yourself, because if you go and hit them, they become more anointed. What am I explaining? Knowledge. Understanding. You need your teachers. God needs to open your eyes so you can understand the scriptures. Please give me a few more minutes. Let me quickly explain some other things. Another way by which God... let me see the other way. Then I'll go back to the first week. I still need to explain some things. Okay, let me quickly finish that first one, all right? Talking about how to pray. We're talking about how to pray, all right? How to pray. You pray, God, help me see my teachers. Very important. Because nobody should tell you that the Bible is just so straightforward all the time. You can easily understand it. That's why God gave you teachers. Do you understand? You need to know your teachers. Then number two, there's one thing that Paul prayed, Ephesians chapter 1. Quickly, let us read it. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, when he began to pray for these people, he said to them in verse, go down to around verse 15, after saying many things, he said, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. I've also said this prayer. Ken Hagin led us to start praying this prayer, and it's been a tremendous blessing to myself. I pray for you, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Let me stop here, please, because I'm watching my time closely. What is the point I'm making here? For you to understand the things that you are being taught, for you to understand the things that you are reading in the Bible, for you to understand the things that you are reading in books, you must have a heart that is prepared also. And listen, that is the advantage we have as Christians. We can go to God and ask for things. Do you understand my point? If the scripture is hard for you to understand, you pray. And the prayer is very simple. The way we're taught then, it still works till today. We just take this Ephesians chapter 1 and read it out loud upon ourselves. I pray that God, my Father, you will give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because I want to know you. Open my eyes of understanding, that I will understand the things that are mine in the scriptures, to understand the riches that you have in glory for me as one of the saints, that I will understand your power, how it works, what power is working towards me. It's simple. God, as this word is coming forth today, please give me understanding. Crucial. This is how you fight unbelief. Because without the knowledge of truth, you will continually walk in that which is false, and that's what we call unbelief. Many people, their faith, all right, are based on things that are wrong. I have many stories I could tell you, but there's one I've told before. The young man who wrote me, wrote the ministry, and said that the day he paid his tithe, gave his offerings, sowed the seed, sealed everything with the blood, and prophesied upon it, washed, knocked it with mantle, you know. I'm adding words to it now, you understand? He now applied for a job. The day they announced the result of that job, he lost the one he had already, and he didn't get the other one. That's just one example. There's many other stories. There's one I even heard recently. I can't start telling it now. Very funny story. The man sowed a dangerous seed. The day he dropped the seed, problems began in his life. Problems. Serious ones, not small problems. You know, you can have small problems. Your car didn't start. It's a small problem. But if lightning strikes and it catches fire, you know that's a big problem. And I hear it not the first time. And when you know, I say why? Why do such things happen to people? It is simply because their faith is based on the wrong premise. Faith based on the wrong premise will lead into trouble. Our brother Okemute has been on radio explaining these things to people. That when you want to pray, pray in the name of Jesus. I've also preached it on radio, sent that by email, taught it here again and again. When you want something from God, please pray in the name of Jesus. God will not answer you because you give an offering. Forget that rubbish. If you like pay tithes when your mother's womb, you won't get anything. When you want to pray, say, God, I have not done anything that deserving of answer, but Jesus has paid for everything. And based upon what Jesus has done, I have come today. It's called praying in the name of Jesus. And then God gives to you. If you do the other one, your faith is based on the wrong premise and it's called unbelief. So how do we handle these things? We ask God, give me understanding. We pray to him, give me understanding. That's number one. All of this I've said so far. Your teachers praying that God should give you understanding is one. The second, which I said I should mention briefly, I have to close now because of my time. The second thing I want to bring out is the fact that in your afflictions and your troubles, God speaks to you. This one is very important. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I obey your word. I need to say clearly to you, Elihu said, God speaks once, twice, no man, the people don't give him attention. He even talks in the dreams of the night. He said, but then the time comes, they are afflicted with pain in their bones. They are cast down in the bed of sickness. Let me put it like this. That is when their ears are opened. I'm just summarizing what Elihu said. What am I going to say? In your afflictions, God speaks to you. That's why Solomon said, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. People, listen, in your life, don't let any bad experience pass and you don't get the lesson of God from it. Sometimes Christians will preach this doctrine which is not good. It's imbalanced. It's not totally bad, just imbalanced. They say it's the devil. Oh, come on, you will worship the devil too much. Every problem is the devil. You start your car in the morning, it doesn't start. You say, in the name of Jesus, the devil that said my car will not start. Do you realize God can also say your car shouldn't start? Do you know you can be delivered from trouble that day if you don't go out? Why do we talk as if the devil is so powerful, he controls everything in our lives? If my car doesn't start, I don't remember the devil. I wonder why it's not starting. Is the plug bad? Is there fuel? Sometimes I just sit down and I just pray, Lord, what is going on? That's how I pray. The devil can't just walk into my engine recklessly. I pray first, Lord, what is going on? Listen, in the midst of your trials, God speaks. Jesus said to the disciples, there are things I want to tell you, can't bear them now. Many things I want to tell you. He said, but when the Holy Spirit will come, he will lead into all the truth. So he thinks the Holy Spirit was a better teacher than Jesus? No. The difference was that between now and when the Holy Spirit will come, you will have gone through serious issues. You will have seen me taken away from you. Your life will have ended. You don't understand what happened to Peter and Co. When they crucified Jesus, it was not a simple thing. These guys had left everything. Don't forget, they walked away from fishing. They walked away from tax collecting. They had done nothing the last 3.5 years. Not only had they done nothing, they had built up hope. Done nothing is not the issue. It's the hope they built up on him. You know, when he rose up from the dead, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? They were thinking that he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel while they were alive. While they were still alive with them, first time. That was why James and John came and said, who are your ministers? Who's going to minister of finance? Okay, let my brother be minister of petroleum. I'll be minister of power and steel. That's what they were discussing. Because they actually thought the kingdom was going to come. They built hope on him. Hey! They had checked that. I can imagine somebody will offend somewhere like John. John said, no, Allah. When we come into power, now your vineyard I will give to the poor. Just imagine things like that. And one day they took him. Even Judas was surprised. Even Judas that betrayed him was surprised they could take him. When Peter said, I don't know him. If it was you, will you know him too? Because, really, I don't know this one. The Jesus I know cannot be handled like this. This Jesus you are talking about, I don't know this one. I remember once I saw the movie, Jesus of Nazareth. I remember that day, I was walking in a clinic in Ikeja in Lagos. It was a weekend, so I just sat down. TV was on, they were showing it. And I remember as the body came from down from the cross. And John was with Mary, the mother. At the point in time, he bent his head and broke down in tears. Do you know, I started crying. And you know what I saw? I didn't see Jesus dead. I just saw John's life come to an end. No, I just saw the life of John come to an end as he bent his head like this, you know, held his chest as he brought the body of Jesus from the cross. It was a movie. I broke down in tears there. Why am I saying this? These were difficult times, trying times. They've taken away your hope and you can't even come out lest they crucify you after that. The people went into hiding. Jesus had to be passing through walls to talk to them. Because they wouldn't open the door for him. These were the things they went through so that Jesus could teach them about himself. One day, two of them were on the road to Emmaus. And the resurrected Jesus, let me just warn you, does not look like the one that was alive. The risen Christ is different. Read the story of John. When John saw him, he didn't know what he was seeing. They saw him on the road that they didn't know who was talking to them. Even his voice was different. But because of their experiences, he could now teach them the very things that he had been trying to tell them before. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Yes, he did not open his mouth. Oh, it's not because he did no longer have any power. It was because he was laying down his life. They said, okay. He taught them from the law and the prophets everything that had to do with the Christ. The only reason they could understand it was because they had participated in his arrest, punishment, crucifixion, and death. Without that, Isaiah chapter 53 could not make sense to any disciple of Jesus, including you. Your experience in life, the first time I learned, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Was when the thief took my bag. I'm telling you the truth. Because all my little world, all my life's possession, little that I was that time, was inside the bag. Well, maybe not literally all, but most. What am I saying? Another way God teaches us when we won't listen. First, people talk to us. We learn the word. If those ones don't work, then it passes us through experiences. Second prayer point I'll give you. I've talked about my teachers. Give me understanding. The next prayer point, say, Lord, in all my experiences, let me never miss the lessons that you are teaching me. There is nothing you are in right now God is not trying to talk through. Nothing. Your last disappointment, God was talking to you. I've been looking for a job for 2 years. He's telling you something, you have not heard it. I've been waiting for this for 3 years. He's telling you something, you haven't heard it. Stop this worship of the devil. I see the devil is the reason why you are not making progress. It cannot be. It doesn't have that amount of power. Listen, at this point, let's rise to our feet. I want to close. Quickly, let us rise. I want to just spend a minute and pray. I always like to start prayer with thanksgiving. Everybody, you are praying for yourself. I may lead a few things, but quickly just say to the Lord, thank you for knowledge. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for insight. Thank you for truth. Thank you that you brought me to know you. Thank you that my ears are hearing the voice of one of my teachers. Thank you that the biggest of the teachers, the Holy Spirit, is mine also. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Then let's take the first prayer point. Now, everybody say after me, say, we are taking 3 prayer points, the one I mentioned. But I just want us to just say it together. So I'll lead. You just repeat it after me. Don't just say amen, all right? Repeat after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, reveal to me.
Lord, reveal to me.
Every one of my teachers in this season.
Every one of my teachers in this season.
I receive them in Jesus' name.
I receive them in Jesus' name.
Wherever they are.
Reveal them to me.
You know why I say wherever they are? They are different. Some of them are in Australia. Some in South Africa. Some died 35 years ago. 100 years ago. John G. Lake is one of my best teachers. He died, I think, 1930-something or so. But his books are there. Many of these people, their messages are there. And God will lead them to those places. So let's pray again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lead me to where I will find them.
I
do not want to walk in darkness. I do not want to walk on in darkness. Lead me to where I will find them, my light. Say like you believe it. Say, lead me to where I will find my own light.
Reveal my teachers to me.
Who will decode the word of God for me? Who will pass into my spirit the light from heaven? In the name of Jesus Christ. Just to spend a minute again and say, Father, I thank you because I receive my teachers. Say that they are coming to me daily. They are coming to me daily. I'm encountering them physically. I'm encountering them on TV, on radio, in books, on the internet. A friend will bring it to me in the name of Jesus. The word that I need, that anyone, one of them will have preached, I receive it in Jesus' name. In my own situation, I receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive it. Every word that I need will not be denied me. Every word that I need will not be denied me in the name of Jesus Christ. Second prayer point. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Repeat after me. Say, Lord,
give me understanding.
Give me the spirit of wisdom
and revelation.
In the knowledge of you.
Cause the eyes of my heart to be opened.
Let me see things in your word.
As my teachers speak to me.
As the scripture is read by me.
I receive understanding.
In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you for understanding. Now we are giving thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for understanding.
I walk in insight.
I walk in understanding.
I'm able to understand the scriptures.
The word will not be hard for me.
This word will not be hard for me.
I will not twist it to my own destruction.
Say this in the name of Jesus.
I will not use your word to justify my lifestyle.
But I will conform my lifestyle to your word.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Last prayer point. Last prayer point.
Say, Lord, every experience of my life,
in it I will hear your voice.
Lord, speak to me.
Lord, I know you're already speaking.
Cause my ears to hear.
Cause my ears to hear.
Cause my heart to understand.
That is so important. There are people here this evening, I'm sure.
that God says, I have to pass you through this to help you get the point. It is not the devil. He says, stop saying it is the devil. Just pay attention for one night. Just say to me, Lord, what are you saying? I want to tell you the way you are walking is wrong. That is why things have not worked well. You think you know it, but you don't. Everybody listening to me, listen. If things are not working well, it is because there's something you don't know. No matter how sure you are, there is something you don't know. It is not the devil. Even if it were the devil, it is because there is something you don't know. If you knew certain things, that devil will leave you alone. Therefore, say, Lord, I receive insight.
Lord, I receive insight.
I receive perception.
I receive perception.
As you speak to me through my experiences.
As you speak to me through my experiences.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. In your own way, just thank God. In your own way, thank the Lord. In your own way, thank the Lord. In your own way, thank the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. Let me just say this. I just want to say it just for 10 seconds and I leave it. Remember, you must put in energy to learning the word of God. You have to dig for it. It will cost you money. It will cost you time. It will cost you the energy. That's all I need to add. I don't want to come back to this message next time. Let me just add that one to it. It will cost you energy. It will cost you time. It will cost you money. It's not everything you will get free. If you can't find it, pay for it. If you can't find it free, pay for it. There will be messages that will change your life. It will cost money. Sometimes God wants to test you. There was a time I was looking for some Carnegie materials. I've looked. I couldn't find. I went online. I said, well, no be money. What is it? Called my friend America. Chooks, let me pay for these things. Went to Jack Hayford's website. Selected materials. Chooks, pay for these things for me. I paid 50,000 naira for the materials. A few months later, one brother walked in. He gave me every message Canadian ever preached. I look back and say, that was a test. Are you willing to pay? Are you getting my point? It will cost you something. It will cost you friends. It will cost you relationships. It will cost you Manchester United and Chelsea. When people are going to watch matches, you are going to hear the gospel. That is the price we pay for salvation. It's not the money we give. No, it's this search for truth. And it's yours in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will bring you your truth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Quickly, let us share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ, this is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
Jesus.